Welcome back to the Pothole Pastors podcast.
We are still alive.
We are alive. I'm sure there are so many people that are just like, what happened to this podcast? And we haven't forgot about it. We've talked about it for a long, long time.
We have.
And we actually, I mean, to be honest, we got really sidetracked with COVID-19. You know, back in August, the school year kicked back off. You know, for those of you maybe who are new listeners, I'm a campus pastor for a college ministry. So we started back to school in August, and everything was just so much busier and harder and complicated than I thought it was going to be. And I really needed to take some time to just figure it out of like, right. What did my life look like? And I know for you as well, you were moving, switching locations. We couldn't nail down a time and a location even to record for a while because right. We were bopping spots. We had some guests lined up where we were going to try to restart a couple times. It just didn't work out. Right. And so I'm not necessarily making excuses. We could have done it, but we kind of took the time to reevaluate, be saying like, first of all, do we want to do this? And we've decided, yes, we do want to do this. Obviously, we're back. But just wanted to wait for a little bit and just kind of start fresh in 2021 with right. the podcast. So I don't think we've nailed down how often. It may not be weekly. It might be weekly. But we are going to be much more consistent right. Than we have been the last few months. I'm trying to look. Our last episode aired, August 26th. So
okay, wow.
It's almost been 6 months.
It has.
You know, so 6 month hiatus, but we're back.
We are back, yeah. And it's nice too. I mean, obviously this is just like a hobby for us, a right. side hobby. Like we don't get any financial gain out yeah. of this. Nor do I care to.
Yeah, it's not what the point of it is.
Right. And it is kind of nice just to be like relaxed about it. Like obviously we want to keep it up, but at the same time, it's not like this
right
job, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly. So we love to do this. We love talking about faith and life and yep. silly Midwest things. Yeah. So but without further ado, I know that so many people have probably missed this dearly.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh,
we need to talk about our Midwest moments. And I unfortunately didn't write down. I've had so many Midwest moments happen to me the last several months. Right. I just didn't write them down, so I don't remember them.
See, I feel like I've had some in passing, and I don't remember them either.
Yeah, is that toilet still on the front porch of that one house?
I don't know. I don't drive by it because, like, in Muncie, that Wheeling used to be on construction.
Oh, yeah.
So I used to have to take a different route, but now it's finished.
That's done, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. To catch up the speed of listeners who maybe missed that episode or don't remember, there was a toilet. Like, and it looked like, did you say it looked like a functioning toilet?
I don't know, but like the tank, everything was, it was just like sitting there on their front porch.
For like weeks?
For maybe months.
Like, oh, wow.
It was a good month or two that I drove by that house, and thankfully I never saw anybody on it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. So nothing like that. Adam, what do you got for us? Midwest moment.
Yeah. So this is kind of dark.
Oh,
a little bit.
Well, welcome to 2021.
It's from North Dakota. I may be breaking the rules. I'm not sure if North Dakota is technically Midwest, but there's probably more.
We just need to print out a sheet because we go through this. I mean, how many episodes have we said, is this the Midwest?
I mean, there's probably more cows than people in this state, I would imagine. So that's got to qualify.
Do you even have a quantifiable like data for that?
I don't. I'm just guessing. But it says North Dakota man threatens to kill ex-boss after Facebook friend requests snub.
Oh. This sounds like the start of a really bad horror movie.
It says a North Dakota man is accused of threatening to kill his ex-boss for not accepting a friend request, according to this newspaper. It says Caleb, I can't pronounce his last name, he's 29, sent his former employer an invitation to become virtual pals on Christmas Eve. So like this is just a few weeks ago. But when he didn't receive, like when he see that he didn't accept it, he allegedly began sending his ex-boss menacing messages, including one that read, and this is quotes, "Accept my friend request or I'm going to murder you," End quote.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it says, with 2 days, there was still no response. And I guess he wrote back saying, like, there's going to be trouble. And he meant what he said. He actually went to his house and kicked in the front door. And it says there's...
Are you kidding me?
I'm dead serious. It's crazy. It said, this is so funny, too. Like, this tells me what this man's about. Like, in a Snapchat. So this man, like, took a Snapchat...
He Snapchatted this?
Yeah, like, took a Snapchat of himself in a cap and vest with a message saying that the victim's family would need a new door. Because, like, he kicked in the door.
Oh, my goodness. Man, I can just see... Okay, picture this. This could be a Hallmark horror movie. So, no, hear me out. So, it's Christmas Eve. He has these, like, you know, pictures of grandeur. Like, we're going to be friends with my boss, you know, all this. Sends it on Christmas Eve. Puts out the plate of cookies, you know, like the cheesy Hallmark stuff. But then he gets it denied. And then suddenly, Last Christmas starts playing. And it fuels his rage. And he goes, oh, man, we need to pitch this to Hallmark. Maybe they'll open up a whole different avenue of movies.
Terrible. And it ends by saying he was charged with felony counts of burglary.
Well, I would hope so.
And terrorizing in connection to the bizarre incident. And he has to go to court for it later this month.
North Dakota. It is. I did look it up. It is officially a Midwest state.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. So it doesn't, like, it sounds like he just kicked in the door, took a Snapchat photo of it, and sent it to his boss's family, and, like, that was it.
Wow.
So, yeah. But it's like, what would drive a person to that extreme for a simple friend request? From your boss? He's not even your boss. He's your ex-boss.
Yeah, wow.
That's weird.
That is, yeah, okay. So,
okay. Oh.
That deserves a couple.
Oh. Oh.
So my story is not near as morbid or dark, although there is death involved, I guess. Wisconsin announces the first wolf hunting season since 2014.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So Wisconsin. Yeah. Wolf hunting is coming back to Wisconsin. So apparently they're taken off of the nearly extinct list. So for a while, you couldn't hunt them because, like, their numbers weren't strong.
Right.
But according to the U.S. Wildlife Service, like, the gray wolves are no longer an endangered species. So you can hunt them. They said that they have a population of about 1,000 wolves in Wisconsin, which I thought seemed low.
I was going to say, that seems really low.
So I'm like, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm underestimating the amount of people that go out and hunt wolves, and maybe you can only get, like, I don't know, one a season or something. I'm not sure.
Right.
But I'm just thinking, even if you were to take out 100 wolves, that's 1% of the population.
Right. How do they calculate that?
Yeah, who knows? I don't want that job.
No, I don't either.
I was just thinking about, can you imagine how terrifying it is? Like, it's one thing to hunt a deer.
Right.
Like, they're relatively, like, they're not a predator.
Right.
You know, so it's not like they're going to hunt you down. That'd be a great horror movie, too. Like, a deer hunts you down.
Oh, but
dear. Like Bambi. Oh, my gosh. Ooh, like Bambi's Revenge.
Ooh.
Like,
but, ruin kids' childhood.
That's a great album or band name. Bambi's Revenge.
Bambi's Revenge.
Totally a metal band. But anyway, but can you imagine hunting, like, a predator? You know, like, the wolf will kill you.
Right.
You know, and they hunt in packs too. So I don't know how often you find, like, wolves on their own.
I don't know.
And so
lone wolf.
I remember, so I don't know if you ever had a video game like this. I had one called Cabela's Dangerous Hunts.
I never had a video game. Like, at the arcades, they'd have, like, shooting games. I'd do
that. Yeah. So I had one. It was called Cabela's Dangerous Hunts. And I always got stressed out in those because you were hunting things like Kodiak bears and wolves and, like, actually dangerous animals.
Right.
And so I'm like, I've never hunted. I've never shot anything other than, like, a possum.
Right.
Also a raccoon that was, like, rabies. So I don't feel bad about that. But I've never hunted. So I'm like, I just couldn't see myself wanting to go after a wolf.
I couldn't either. Yeah, it'd be too risky for, well, what would you do with it? Like, can you eat its meat?
I can't imagine that's good.
Yeah, I can't either. The only thing I can think of is if you use the skin.
Yeah, I mean, the pelt could be worth something, maybe, but yeah. Anyway,
Oh,
those are Midwest moments. So we won't really catch up because we have too much to catch. We have like 6 months forever of catch up. Yeah. So yeah, that's Midwest moments. But we did want to talk about, so 2020 was not a year that had many bright spots for many people.
Right.
You know, we had a worldwide pandemic. Thousands of people died from the pandemic and the COVID-19. People lost their jobs. A very pretentious election. I mean, there's just so many things that, I mean, civil unrest, you know, like with racial tensions in our country. There's just so many things that 2020, everybody was like, you know, we need to get out of this year. We need to get out of it. 2021 can't come fast enough. And I do I understand that sentiment. So I'm not trying to like make fun of anybody or like anything like that. I'm sure I have said those things at some point, you know?
Right.
But I started noticing something as 2020 started approaching. I, on social media, even in conversations, even among Christian people, I started noticing that there was almost an inherent hope in the new year, just as if the new year is kind of like, you remember those, what's it called? Etch-a-Sketch?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and how if you didn't like it, you just shook it. And it erased and you could start over. And I feel like in some ways people have been treating 2020 like an Etch-a-Sketch. Like we're just going to shake it. And in 2021, it's going to be so much better.
Right.
But my question all along, like I don't want to be the cynical guy that does this on social media. So I just didn't. But I'm like, but what if it's not?
Right.
What if 2021 is not better?
Right.
You know? And so it just started making me think about why do we think that a new year will be better.
Right.
You know? So I don't necessarily have an answer for that. Maybe we can dialogue a little bit about that. Right. But I think it's like, what makes us think a new year is going to be better than last year? What's, how will 2021 be better than 2020?
Right. There's a buddy who, like made a, I think a Instagram story. He like had the phone counting down like 3, 2 on the ball drop. He's like, 3 seconds till coronavirus is cured. Like, he was joking. But it's sad that people kind of believe that in a very weird sense. Mm-hmm. But even though just because the clock ticked doesn't mean that it's gone. Like, it's still here. And many people say it'll be here and we have to wear masks for a while yet. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's kind of this false hope of, I mean, people are tired, obviously, of it being winter in a sense, you know, and they're like waiting for spring to come. Metaphorically and seasonally.
Yeah, that's true.
But to me, I look at it as, well, if you have really nothing to hope in, then like, where do you turn except your own fantasy? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's sad that people have that because a lot of their life is put on hold because of the virus. So they just hope, oh, it's a new year. Maybe it'll be better. And I hope it is too. But for me, I always look at the reality of, well, let's not be caught off guard if it's not better because then we're just going to be disappointed all over again.
Yeah, I think from the very beginning, it's we talked a lot about, you and I, about hope, you know, and it was really interesting that when the whole pandemic hit back in March, we started a series in our ministry about First Peter.
I remember that.
And the first one that the first message was being a people of hope.
Right.
And that's what Peter, you know, his famous passage about, we have been born into this living hope, you know? And so I think from the very beginning of this pandemic, we've been really challenged with what is our hope in?
Right.
What are we hoping for? You know, and it's very, very easy to say we hope in Jesus and the kingdom come and the new heavens, the new earth, all those things,
right?
Redemption, salvation. It's very easy to say that when the world's not in a worldwide pandemic and, you know, like, we're stuck inside and we, you know, can't go anywhere. We can't be around the people we love. I know for both of us, we haven't greatly been affected by the virus personally. You know, we haven't lost, I don't think we've lost any family members. I'm not even sure if we've had very many family members even contract COVID-19.
Not like intermediate.
Yeah, like the immediate family or anything like that. Yeah, it's Not that they don't matter. It's just that we're not in contact with people. We're not in close relationship.
Right.
And so I do know people who've got the virus and they've recovered. And I do know some people who've struggled. So it's not like I haven't been affected at all.
Right.
But from the very beginning, it's challenged us of like, you know, we couldn't gather as a church worldwide. I mean, some people did. Some people didn't listen and heed to any of the warnings, which I think is like foolish.
Right.
But I'm also not thinking like we have to totally like abandon everything.
Right.
You know, so there's somewhere in between, I think. I think it depends on where you're at, like in an area, like is the rest of your city open and are you still being precautious or being cautious, taking precaution? That's what I was trying to say.
Right.
But yeah, so I've thought about that a lot of like, where is our hope in? And I think honestly, a lot of people are just generally hoping in themselves, in the government, in society, in science. And none of those things are necessarily bad. God ordains governments.
Right.
You know, he raises up leaders. God is the creator of science. Like, so it's not like God is anti-science.
Right.
You know, but those things are not God.
Right.
They don't have the weight and the capacity to hold that kind of burden.
Right.
And so I think, like, honestly, I've just... if I could encourage our listeners with anything and just people in general in this new year, is that our hope is not in a new year. It's not in the universe. It's not in the goodness of people or like the in science or whatever. This, our hope is in Jesus.
Right.
And that hope is much more firm than a vaccine or than even a public gathering, because even if the worst is to happen to us and we die.
Right.
We don't lose with Christ. We have our eternity secure. The kingdom is coming.
Right.
You know, whether COVID-19 is eradicated, you know, it won't be eradicated. That's the thing. So also, COVID-19 is not going anywhere. Right. It's not going to disappear. It will always be around. We'll just have a way to like treat it and, you know, have kind of like the flu. The flu doesn't go away. We just have vaccines and stuff like that to like flu shots to help not get the flu.
Right.
But like our hope is the kingdom come, is Jesus coming and being our king. And our hope is not anything else. So I'm not an anti-vaccine person, although I'm very skeptical about taking one right now. Like this thing didn't exist a year ago and we have no data on what happens to people taking this like 6 to 9, 12 months later.
Right.
So I'm not anti-vaccine necessarily. I'm just like, I do not want to be on the first wave, which I'm not going to be. I'm not like a frontline worker or anything like that. But my wife, you know, your sister, obviously, like she kind of is in one of those first waves that could receive the vaccine. My mom and my sister, they work in the hospitals. They could be on the first few waves, you know? So I just think like, our hope can't be in that. Now, if the science proves out and the data shows out, like, yeah, take it. No side effects. It only helps. Then take the stupid vaccine. You know, like there's no reason not to.
It's not the mark of the beast.
It's not. Oh my gosh, dude, we could go off on that. I am not going off on that today. I promised myself I will not do that on this podcast. But I will say, the vaccine is not the mark of the beast.
It's not right.
End of story. We're not discussing it any further. But our hope is Jesus, not a new year. And I would just challenge us to think through, will we still have the same optimism in Jesus and in the kingdom, in church life, in our spiritual lives, even if 2021 is worse than 2020? I think we need to ask ourselves that of like, what if it's worse? Where's my hope in?
Right. I think if 2020 taught me and hopefully a lot of people anything, is that there's a lot of things in our life that are tools that we use as our life itself, from politics to even like our social life, even church, like ministry is just a tool to God, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a danger when people make it their life and they put their hope in it, right? And so for me, it's like the pandemic shows a lot of like, oh, you can't go to church. You can't do the normal social things you have. Politics is not meeting your needs, you know. Right. Like it shows like these are tools, you know. It's like a Phillips screwdriver. It's only good for so much. You know, you can't change your tire with it. Yeah. And
at least I can't. Maybe somebody
maybe
can.
Maybe somebody can. I don't know. But for me, it's like I really hope it wakes people up. And I have to remind myself that too, because right. It may not be politics. It could be something else. Like, this is just a tool. It's not everything in life, you know? And I think only when failure comes and when it doesn't meet the need that you think it will, it really shows you.
Yeah.
And sometimes disappointment is the best teacher. I mean, yeah. It shows you, hey, this is not going to fill that hole.
Yeah. No, I think like, yeah, that's a really good point of that we need disappointment.
Right.
And we don't always get what we want, you know? Right. And it's just... Yeah, I don't want to be insensitive. It's just like we need to have our priorities and our hope in the right spot
right.
because it does lead to less disappointment, I feel like.
Right.
Not that we won't ever be disappointed, but Paul even says like our hope in Jesus will not disappoint us.
Right.
So we might feel some disappointment at other things, but it's right. never going to be our hope in Jesus that disappoints us.
Right.
You know, so we just have to be sure that we know what we're hoping for.
Right.
And I am optimistic of this year that it can be a better year, that things can get figured out. The vaccine maybe is going to work. Things can
right.
get under control or whatever.
Right.
But that's not the source of my hope. My eternity is not destined to like 2021 has to be better or I won't make it. Like that might be the reality for some who don't
right.
know Jesus. But for those
right.
who know Jesus, that's a different story. And that kind of hope is exciting because I'm like, we can take that to the world
right.
who doesn't have that same hope, the people that don't believe in Jesus, and we can offer them something real
right.
and say like, hey, your life is falling apart. You're aimless,
right.
but we have the map. We have the compass to point you to Jesus, to the truth,
right.
to the real hope. And so I am optimistic about that and excited
yeah.
for that. But I was
yeah.
I had thought a lot about that in the new year.
Oh, yeah.
I almost posted about it, but I didn't want to be cynical. And I don't think that's cynical. I just
right.
am trying to be realistic, but
right.
I didn't want to like dash everybody's resolutions and dreams and stuff. But
well, sometimes the truth is hard to hear.
But we're we're 5 days past New Year's, so I'm ready to dash dreams now.
Yeah.
So it's
most people's New Year's resolutions are either dashed by now or
usually
struggling.
By February. That's usually
I guess
when
February.
They, yeah, that's when they say usually all of them go out the window.
Yeah. No, I would have been reading it's been like a week or so ago, but I think it's in not First Peter, I think it's Second Peter. I don't remember. But anyways, but at the very end, is talking about how like looking forward to like the day of the Lord. But at the end it talks about like we look forward to like when righteousness will dwell.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of looking at, and that's how like the chapter ends. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking like, man, all the frustrations in life, even like when life is good, there's still some frustrations, but kind of taking that as like, well, that's kind of good because this isn't the way it's supposed to be. You know, like righteousness is coming, and whatever you draw conclusions from that, you know, whether it's social unrest or whatever,
right.
it's like righteousness in the kingdom of God, like the atmosphere where everything is right and good with God, like that's what we look forward to.
Right.
And for me as a Christian, looking at all the issues around the world, it's like we should be a people bringing pockets of like righteousness where we are. And I really hope that people like see God and Christianity for more of what it is and not just what they perceive it to be.
Right.
Because I think we offer a lot of, the church should, not all the time does it show it, like the solutions to like what we're going through. You know, like we need community. We need the showing the equality of other people and a place of hope beyond, you know, how we cast our vote and whatnot. And yeah. I really hope 2021 is a place where the church does a better job of not relying on those tools. I say we can use them for our benefit, but more focusing on like, no, our hope is in Jesus. That's where we start. That's where we build our foundation and let it start within us that other people see something different than maybe what they had perceived of the church and the pastor of God even.
Right. So
I think a lot of people, even if they're indifferent about God or they don't have any interest in him, I think they just have a wrong view of him, frankly, and if they actually saw who he was, I think they'd think differently. That's
yeah.
just my opinion. But
yeah. That's a great hope. I think my hope is, you know, this is no surprise to you and probably many of the people who know me, maybe even to the listeners. I've really been into spiritual formation for the last couple years now, but especially in the last 6 months. And my hope is that we, as a church, embrace a more serious spiritual formation of like taking like stock of the things. I think if anything that 2020 showed me, especially during quarantine and other things, was like the things that I was being formed by, of like what I listened to, what I watched, like how I used my time, even the amount of time on my social media and phone. And for a long period of time, I took social media off my phone and it was really helpful. So I'm just thinking like an intentional spiritual formation, because we're always being formed by something.
Right.
You know, we're always like from the things we watch, the people we hang around, the things we read, the things we listen to, we're being spiritually formed. Like, and it's not, sometimes we like to segregate those things and say like, well, I'm going to listen to all these things over here that are like, you know, of the world or whatever. And I'm not trying to say like, don't listen to like secular music. That's not my point. My point is like, we try to separate secular and sacred spiritual things, which we're going to have a guest soon talking about that.
Ooh, yeah.
But we are like, you booked them, but, our friend Jeff.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. My mind is completely blank there.
So we'll talk more about that. So I don't want to steal his thunder, but we at times kind of act like, oh, we can watch and listen to all these things that are maybe like against the heart of God and grieve God's heart. But then we can do all these extra things. We almost think like if we can do enough spiritual things, it kind of like outbalances the other ones, and we can just kind of get, you know, but those things are forming us.
Right.
And so just taking a really intentional look at our lives. I think a big thing is like asking, what is my engagement at a local church going to look like? I think that's a big question right now, is like a lot of people are virtual. Some people are gathering. Some people are being very cautious as they're gathering. Some people are being not cautious at all.
Right.
And so I think, I mean, so I'm not saying it's not a one size fits all. Like, you know, if you're in an area where COVID is running rampant, obviously, stay home, don't go anywhere. But it's my conviction, and this is my conviction, so I don't say that this is the word of the Lord, that everyone, but I'm like, if you are able to meet and your conscience allows you to, like honestly allows you to, not just like, oh, I need to stay home to be safe, but do you actually feel that? Or is there like, let's be honest and evaluate, like, am I just avoiding church? Am I doing what's easy? You know, I'm not saying everyone's doing that, but I'm just saying we need to ask that. Why am I not going to church? And also, why am I going to church?
Yeah.
And so we need to ask those questions. And then we need to decide, like, how are we going to be involved with a local body of people consistently? Because we need that. Like, just because COVID-19 happens doesn't mean we don't need that community. And that's a big part of our spiritual formation. That I think, honestly, a lot of people, my concern is that we're raising a generation in this year of disciples. And obviously, it's discipleship's more than a year, but this can be an impactful year or two of like, what if people are thinking like, I can just go to church whenever I want, or just go online. I don't need to go to church. And so that's where it's like, I was very hesitant to even have any kind of live stream because of that. But I can see the merits, and we do a live stream. But we need like a good theology and a good formation of like, we're being around people. So that's kind of my hope, is that we kind of find a way to safely gather responsibly. Maybe it's not every week, maybe it's once a month or whatever, if COVID gets worse or in spots that are hard, or, you know, and sometimes I think maybe like, you know, places that are, it's really, really bad, it probably is wise just to stay online, but having some kind of accountability and real community, whether that's Zoom, or if you're able to socially distance and eat out, or doing something to be around people and let your spiritual formation be formed that way.
I agree. I think individualism is a scary thing. I mean, this is just my personal opinion. I think individualism is something that would eventually, like, a lot of people talk about, like, oh, if this happens, America's going to fall, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know anything. But I don't know. I look at life, and then maybe it's because I've seen people around me be deeply affected by it. Like, individualism damages people more than what a lot of people think. And just because of COVID, we've had to be home and be by ourselves more than usual. And just seeing, like, we do need people more than a lot of people realize. And it's hard because I'm a video guy. But even I see that, of like, I love having the option. We can do online stuff, but I would prefer having that face-to-face with people, because you need that, you know? But yeah, I don't know. It's something that I hope we can get back to sooner rather than later. I think a lot of people hope that, but it's just the reality.
It's shown we're communal people,
right?
You know, because like I know that a lot of people stay home and it's safe, and I'm not bashing anybody for that. I just want to be incredibly clear. I'm not bashing anybody staying home, but it's shown to me the amount of people when we've had services that have consistently come. Because people want community. They need community.
Right.
And so, yeah, I just agree with you so much. Like, individualism is killing America. And quite honestly, it's killing parts of the church.
Right.
And it's like the gospel is a communal gospel and an individual gospel. There has an individual, like, aspect to it, but it's deeply communal and written to a people, not a person, you know?
Right.
It's not written person to person solely. Like, it does affect us person to person, but it's written to the body of Christ, the family of believers, the priesthood of saints, you know, so it's to a family, a group, a big people multitude, and we need them. And so we just need to say, like, how am I going to be involved with the family of God in 2021 on a consistent way where I'm receiving and I'm also giving to the family of God?
Right. Absolutely. I think having people like above you and below you. I know Kaif always talked about that, like in your church, like those who can give you wisdom, but also people below you that you can also give guidance.
Yeah, not in a superiority way, but yeah, like
age.
Another way of saying that maybe sounds less, whatever, not bashing you or anything, but it's like everyone needs a Timothy and a Paul, someone mentoring them, and then someone you are mentoring.
Right.
You know? So I know what you mean.
But. Right. But I mean, obviously, that's hard to do when you're not around people. And so, but to me, I think if people get more involved, then they tend to be more excited, not just about their faith, but just about community and what Christianity is all about. That's one thing Chi Alpha taught me. It's like, man, if you get people involved, they're probably going to stick around longer because they feel like they have some worth. They feel like they belong.
And they do.
Right. And they do. I mean, regardless if people volunteer or not, like they have worth, but it just lets people kind of discover it themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of times you kind of have to like set up for some people. You don't always have to do all the work for them. It's just like, hey, I'm going to put you in this role. And then they kind of discover themselves, you know, and grow that way type thing.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, first episode back.
Yeah.
We're hitting hard.
In a new place too.
In a new place. This is a new media room, studio location sort of thing.
Yeah.
So probably means nothing to anyone listening. Probably can't hear a difference, but we're in a new spot. But yeah, so get committed to a church, spiritual formation, in whatever form you can and are feeling comfortable doing. And, you know, put your hope in Jesus. That's where the true hope of the future is.
One thing that I've been helped me, and we've talked about this before, of thinking like, if Jesus comes back next week, would I be disappointed on missing out on anything? And I think it's okay to like, oh, well, I'll never be able to do this or that, and that's disappointing. And I think that's fine if it's good. But if it's like, oh, man, I'm never going to be able to do this again, you know, and it's kind of like revealing an idol, so to speak.
Sure, yeah.
So especially during the pandemic, because you're missing out on a lot of stuff, to me, that's what's been helpful for me. Like, okay, if Jesus comes back next week, some of the stuff isn't going to matter, you know?
Right, yeah.
I mean, not saying you shouldn't be concerned, but just showing like, where is your heart? Right. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But, yeah, so that'll be a good first episode. We'll call it there. But before we go, recommendations. We should have 6 months worth of recommendations.
Should have a ton.
So I do have a great recommendation. So I have fact about me. I love fiction. So I really like to read fiction, watch fiction things, like love Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Narnia, other things that I won't say on the air because that sounds bad. I'll just say it. Harry Potter. So if anybody wants to like
just lost some
like,
subscribers.
Yeah, no, somebody wants to like burn me at the stake or whatever. I will argue with anybody. There is deep Christian metaphor and like parallelism within Harry Potter. I will argue anybody about it. So you can come onto the podcast and we can argue about it. But there is a artist named Andrew Peterson.
Oh, yeah.
So if you've listened to the song, Is He Worthy? His heart beats, Dancing in the Minefield, you know, has some great music over the years, Christian artist. But he wrote a book series, a fictional kind of kids series, but it really branches all ages. Like, I really, as an adult, enjoy reading this story. It's fantastic, called The Wingfeather Saga. I am reading, I'm in the tail end of the fourth and final book, and I have stayed up way too late the last few nights reading because I just cannot put the book down, and I'm like drowsy holding the book, and I'm like, I want to keep reading, but I need to go to bed. So that is really, really good and powerful storytelling, and just really good metaphors and just parallelisms with life and stuff. So it's very, very good.
One thing, Andrew Peterson wrote some silly songs for VeggieTales.
He did, yeah.
I did not know that. So I thought that was kind of funny. He's like been in music a long time.
Oh, yeah, forever.
I just, well, Josh Bowman, our old Chi Alpha director, likes Andrew Peterson music a lot. Mm-hmm. And I heard about him when I was in college. I thought, oh, this guy must be new. And then you like you look back, oh, he's been around a
He's been
time.
Around a while, yeah.
Yeah. My recommendation is actually a short film I just watched today. Finally, we talked about this on our podcast like when we first started, but my documentary series we're actually filming this month after like 2 years. So I'm really excited. But I like to watch like short film or short documentary films, I should say, just to get some inspiration for me, whether it's shot ideas, how they tell the story, you know, just stuff like that, just to get inspiration to learn. And so I watched one today, and it's not very long. It's like 10 minutes or so. But it's a documentary on this lady. She's like 98 years old, and she lives at home by herself. And each day she goes to a church where they have like a senior center type thing for all these seniors, and they basically feed them lunch and they play games. It's a place of community for these people who live alone, and it's
That's cool.
Yeah, the short film is called Junk Mail, and it actually made me tear up. Like, it's really good. The thing I love about it is the cinematography is not like out of this world amazing, but the story is just really told well. And it's called Junk Mail. Like, you'll see why it's called Junk Mail. It makes sense, but yeah, it was just really, really touching and just like really good. So I think it's on Vimeo or somewhere. If you just type in Junk Mail short film, you should find it, but it's good.
Okay. So check those recommendations out and keep your podcast feed refreshed.
Yes.
We will have more things on a consistent basis coming out this year. But
absolutely.
If you're liking what you're hearing and you want to share it, it means the world to us. Give us a review. Send it to your friends, family, social media feed, things like that. But until next time, take it easy, and we'll be back.
Yep. See you guys.